But we practice together every Saturday. So we're ready for Sunday for Pebbles, and that we play together. Then I had practice song and the piano played, and then they got the song pretty good, and we both played together. And then I felt like they made a mistake with me. They asked me to be junior Sunday school teacher when I was just 14 years old. And I taught that till I got married when I was 24 years old. Look at all the church history and gospel and everything I missed in all those years. I don't think that's
right. I think they need the association of kids their age.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think they made a mistake with me doing that because I just taught little children. I went out to Montel. I taught school out there in Lorain, Nevada. 3 years, and it was one of these one-room schools.
Hmm.
And
how many grades met there?
Well, I had 4 different grades.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. And you know, the first year I never studied so hard in my life because I wasn't acquainted with the textbooks or anything, so I had to study every night, and I tried to keep 3-4 days ahead.
Hmm.
No, not doing. And I taught little first graders how to read, and that was kind of a thrill. And I had Italians and Mexicans, and then 1 year I had Italians and Mexicans and white children, too. And I think this Presbyterian minister came around, and Nevada just made a law. At that particular time, Nevada had so many one-room schoolhouses, and those children in those schools never got any church, religion, or anything. So they made a law that the teachers had to teach. And it's a Presbyterian minister that came around and gave me all the Presbyterian ministers and says, you have to teach Sunday schools and give these lessons to them. And I says, well, I go to Montel every Friday night and don't come back till Sunday night. That's okay, you can teach them in the week, during the week, do that. Well, here I was, teaching me a Mormon, teaching Presbyterian literature to Catholic kids. Oh, gosh. I did it for 3 months and then I quit. I couldn't do it. The Italians weren't quite so superstitious, but these Mexican kids were terribly superstitious. I remember I made a cross to add, and Justin says, Zvelna, write that. I come and reach that. Why? Don't you know you go to the bad place if you ever make a cross? And I said, no, not this kind of a cross anyway. I said, that's only going to tell you how to add. And I put the subtraction and then the multiply. And I had to multiply that. And I said, okay, maybe you won't go to the bad place. But these Mexican kids were so darn superstitious about everything. I just quit. It was just too much for me. And of course, he didn't like it, but I did.
You did have the 8th grade once, didn't you, there?
Mm-mm.
Where was the girl that couldn't make it, was it 8th grade or 6th?
Well, she was 15, she was going to be 16. And in Nevada that time, when you got to the 7th grade, you had to take a state examination, and the superintendent of that county schools come around and gave that examination to them. If they didn't pass it, they'd have to hold them back.
Hmm.
And then they had to do the same thing in the 8th grade. And I guess this girl hadn't passed for a good many years. She's sweet. Well, she was 15 at the time when I had to flunk her. And I felt like crying because she had a low IQ. She could never pass the test, never. And I tried to explain that to Mr. Franklin. I said, she's 15, and in a couple of months she'll be 16. And I said, she's not too bright, but she still had big feelings. That will embarrass a 16-year-old girl, because an 11, 12-year-old, I said, Tony here, he passed it high, the Italian kid, and he'll be 12 in the summer, and here she'll be 16. That's embarrassing. Well, if she doesn't pass it next year, then I'll let him pass her, but you can't pass her, I won't let you.
Hmm.
And, of course, I was taught differently when I went to cadet school here. If you had children that mentally retarded or slow in learning, you go ahead and pass them. But if you have a smart aleck that's bright and just wants to play in that, then you can hold them back. But anyway, I felt quite upset about not passing her. Then I taught one more year there. And I remember one time I sometimes get off at Lorraine and I come to Ogden on Friday night. I wait till Sunday night, go out, and then I have to get out at Lorraine instead of Montello. And call that across that trestle so many, many times. Now the train doesn't even go to Montello now. But it stopped quite a while in Montello. I thought that's unusual. And I had about 20 miles more to go to get to Lorraine. And as the train started going away, so Breckman came back and said, "Miss Belknap, that big engine we had on this train, we had trouble with, and we had to take it off. And all Montel's roundhouse has is a small engine."
Did they put extra ones on at Montello?
Mm-hmm. And they usually have big ones there, but this time they only had a small engine. And the engineer says he cannot make a complete stop in Lorraine, because as straight as he does, sits on a hill, he'll never get started again.
Hmm.
So he says, "I'll just have to pick you up and jump off the train with you." Anyway, that's what happened.
Did they slow down?
Yeah, he slowed down a little bit.
He didn't stop.
Uh-huh. He slowed down a little bit, and I had a package in my arm, and he said, "Is that breakfast?" And I said, "No." And then he threw my suitcase off, and he grabbed me and jumped off so fast, by the time I could turn around, he was back on the
train.
And his train went on.
Huh.
But just had all kinds of little experiences like that. Another thing about Montello, when you went to dances, you didn't quit at midnight. The orchestra played until you went home. Sometimes a dance was 2 and 3 in the morning. And I could take it then. Good heavens, I could dance every dance. No, I can't hardly stand.
People came from all the construction camps, all the way around, and little towns the way out.
Well, from Weld and then Utah Construction. I had a lot of ranches all around. Sometimes they come from hundreds of miles away, especially when the Relief Society gave dances. It was semi-formal, and people came from all over Grouse Creek and all around.
Grouse Creek's in Utah, isn't
it? I know it, uh-huh.
North,
but there were some men in Grouse Creek that worked for the railroad. I laughed one time. Say, "Oh, the last year there, I bought me a Chevrolet car." And those days, they were just one-seaters.
Mm-hmm.
And the three of us teachers thought we'd just ride over to Grouse Creek and see what it was like. I'd never been there. And there was this one fellow, he always danced with me. One time I went home a little early because I didn't feel well. And Audrey said, he just begged me to go home and get you and bring you back. But she says, Andy wouldn't walk with me, so I didn't. Well, we got over there. There he was digging a ditch, and his wife, a woman was standing beside him, so I'm sure it was his wife. So we stopped and said, "Hello, John. Come on." No one didn't act like how we knew it, so. "Oh boy, that must be his wife." And I had no idea how you begged him not to want to dance and that. But anyway, I finally. Oh, and then I went with a fellow for 3 years. And I started going with him before I went out to Montello and Ray. The last year in Montello, I lived in the beanery in Montello, so I drove my car back and forth. But. So, Jim Sanders, I went for 3 years, and oh, he showered me with all kinds of gifts, all kinds of places. Well, we had all kinds of fun, and he brought me a lamp. I want you to put that away in your cedar chest. I had one. And I says, "Well, it's yours. You can." No. And then finally, he saw a sofa in Boyle's. Oh, isn't that beautiful? I should buy this for us, and keep it your house. I said, "I have no room to put it in my house. I have to put it in yours. I don't be there." So he didn't buy it that time, but I decided I better break up with him. I liked him, but I didn't love him. And I understood my dad was quite upset about that, because